Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and I have the lovely and talented Cat, that's C-A-T, taking life by the horns. Cat, what's happening?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. If you found me on TikTok, we'll TikTok to you. Two cities we're going to shout out for listeners this week are, that's in the Pacific region. One is Osaka, Japan. Osaka is a large port city with a commercial center there, the Japanese island of Honshu. It also has a 16th century shogunate, Osaka Castle, that's been had several renovations. Our other town is Adelaide, Australia. Adelaide is South Australia's cosmopolitan coastal capital. Say that five times fast. As the heart, Adelaide's also the heart of the world's opal industry.
I want to go to Australia, but I unless I can be knocked cold. How long does it take to get there? 14?
I'll find some drugs for you.
I would love to go there.
As a guard selling the gorgeous stone from South Australian mines. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is here to stay on the back porch. The other day, my doctor, he told me to watch my drinking. So I found a bar with a mirror. Today, I'm having a whiskey sour in honor of my parents who back in the day, especially in summertime, would make big pitchers of whiskey sours. Kat, what you got?
Been watching all the fashion shows happening on the other side of the pond. You know, the French do it so well. And so I'm drinking a Coco Chanel cocktail.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right. With the world of television just getting worse and worse, just nothing on. We troopered through another summer of just crickets on the tube. I happened upon the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, which is pretty cool.
I like to put that on repeat, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. You don't know when it went down, but they'll keep showing it, and I'll keep watching it. Looking at all the different breeds of dogs. Here on the back porch, we like the sporting class since we have a Brittany, and the Brittany is represented in the sporting group, though they never seem to win anything, do they, Kat?
No, but they sit there and remind you how difficult it is to live with a Brittany because they're so high strung. So.
The Brittany has never won best in show. And the last time the Brittany won the sporting group was in 2010. I protest. Oh, well, there's always next year. And next year will be February 10th and 11th. That's going to be in 2025, not that far away, at Madison Square Garden. That's how big and prestigious this thing is. The dogs get to run around Madison Square Garden. Now, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show is the second longest continually held sporting event in the U.S. How about that? There are seven group competitions. You have sporting, hunting, working, terrier, toy, non-sporting, and herding. And the herding group is pretty wild. There are some cool-looking herding dogs in that category that you've never seen or heard of. The Australian Shepherd is a wild-looking dog. The Polish Lowland Sheepdog, he's also an eye catcher, given the fact that you can't see his eyes or her eyes. And again, that's one of the reasons we'll watch the dog shows, just to see some of the breeds that you've never seen before. Now, the judging part of these competitions is way over my head. Evidently, each breed has an official set of standards, and that has to be met, And the dog show judges, they must know all these standards to determine which dog will be the winner. Now, I don't know if I totally buy into that. If you've never watched a Westminster Kennel Club dog show, there's a big crowd that shows up to watch his stuff. And they applaud, don't they, Kat?
I mean,
very loudly.
Some, like, they've interviewed, you know, like, girlfriends that will take their girl trip every year and make it around the dog show because they just love going so much every year.
Do they sell drinks there?
Yeah. Can you get a beer there? Some cocktails.
Oh, right. I'm down. We should go. Again, big crowd. And they'll applaud when, you know, one of the dogs starts going around. And I think it might sway the judge a little bit. But it's really about the dog's conformation, temperament, basically overall appearance. And we always kind of pick a favorite out of the bunch. And they usually don't win.
Well, sometimes it's just how the dog is approaching its little strut as it goes around. You kind of, some of them just kind of win you over naturally.
Well, it seems like the terrier is fancied for right. The overall winner.
Well, they're just a little spunky.
Right. That's what, like you were just talking about, that little cocky strut they got. Well, some of these dogs.
Like, I could be chasing mice right now, but here I am in New York City strutting around.
I know when they go into the rat terrier known for flushing out rodents. Where are we flushing out rodents at? I don't know. The fox terrier, Scottish terrier, they've won this thing so many times.
You got to remember, some of the dogs had a job, and that's what they were bred to do. And not that they're doing that job, you know, there on the couch with the foo-foo.
I know. I don't know. They have been spreading it around lately, the last few years. What is it? A poodle won, a mini basset, actually a bloodhound. Just took home the big prize. And looking at the dog show on TV, it just looks like dogs, you know, posturing for the judge and parading around the ring. But you have no idea what these owners and dog handlers go through, right, Kat?
Before
these
jokers
hit the stage. It's hours and hours of training, grooming. I mean, some of these dogs have like an entourage. You know, they got more people than Taylor Swift, you know, speaking of dogs. The person you see showing the dog sometimes is not necessarily the owner. Some of the owners, they aren't physically fit enough to run this dog through the paces.
You get a professional handler who knows what they're doing.
Right. So they'll hire, like Kat said, the professional to do all the heavy lifting. I know what I would do.
What would you do?
If I was entering a dog in a dog show, and Raleigh's a little, Brittany's a little overweight, and that's Kat's fault.
It is not.
I would find like a smoking hot professional handler who likes to wear like a short skirt and throw her out there with my dog. And even though he might not deserve to win, I bet the judge gets distracted and we get to take home the prize. Is that a good idea?
Because a lot of the judges are women.
True. There are classes you can take that will show you how to handle your dog.
Well, they also have programs for children to learn
which
to kind
cool.
of grow up within the sport.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course, your dog should already know the basics like walking on a leash on your left side and how to stack. Stack is when the dog stands there with his head up or her head up, its tail up, and its hind legs are extended out. That's called the stack. See, you just learned something today. You're welcome. Now, anywho, if you're bouncing around the channels and the Westminster Kennel Club dog show pops up, give it a go. It's pretty entertaining, whether you're a dog animal person or not. I wonder why there's not a cat show. You know what? There is a cat show. It's called the International Cat Show and Expo, put on by the Cat Fanciers Association. But I bet the judges don't put their fingers up in the cat's mouth and check their teeth, right? Like they do those dogs. Yeah. Anyway, I bet the cats don't have to stack either. Again, these purebred dogs, they're so smart. The sporting group, these dogs, you know, they have it in their DNA to flush birds, run deer, retrieve ducks or geese. And then at the end of the day, they could come in the house and play with the kids. The herding group dogs have it in their DNA to herd cattle, sheep, and then they can come in the house and lay on the rug by the fireplace. I mean, it's so cool to see these intelligent dogs that know when it's go time and then know when it's time to turn it off. And me and Kat have seen this for years now with their Brittany. I mean, when we go out in the morning, he's bouncing off the walls. He's ready to roll. He's like, we got to hit the woods. You know, we got to go chase some deer. We got to find some turkey. And
this is how I broke my ankle, was letting the dog roll.
And then we come back, Kat, and what's he do? Rolls up on the couch and lays his head on the armrest.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, done for the day.
Anyway. You know, if you have the means, go get yourself a dog or a cat. The dogs, they don't have to be American Kennel Club dog, AKC. Go to your local dog shelter. It can change your life. A dog does take some work, but it is worth it. I was never an animal person. Kat will tell you, but, Kat, my best friend, sitting right here beside me, she made me an animal lover. So anyway, check out the dog show. Usually comes on holidays, right? Or right. A little bit after.
If nothing else, watch the one that's Thanksgiving that comes on every year.
Yep. Give it a go. All right. Let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. John James Audubon, born in 1785 from now what is known as Haiti.
Right.
Self-trained artist, ornithologist. He turned his art and bird watching into a plan to make a pictorial, a record of all the bird species of America. His dad was a French navyman, wanted his son to take to the seas, but John James Audubon was obsessed with the outdoors, hunting, fishing. He could draw. He was into music. Dude could play the flute, the violin. Here we go again with talented people back in the day. He could draw. He could play an instrument. He could do all this shit.
Well, they weren't wasting their time on freaking video games and shit.
They had a long day ahead of them to do nothing.
So. I mean, he was basically traveling up and down the Ohio River.
Yes.
On Western Kentucky.
This dude walked billions of miles.
Setting up a dry goods store in Hendersonville, Kentucky. Continued to draw birds as a hobby, amusing impression, and made a portfolio.
I looked at some of his stuff. It's pretty cool. He began illustrating what he saw while he was roaming through the woods.
Very much as I walk through the woods and I'm taking pictures of mushrooms.
Yeah, John James Audubon, pretty much the first bird watcher.
Right.
Again, quite an artist. His paintings are spot on. He discovered 25 different species of birds.
Okay, he did portraits of 1,065 birds representing 489 species.
Crazy. Now, I'm not going to compare myself to John James Audubon, or am I? But sitting here on the back porch, Kat and I, with several bird feeders, we kind of caught the bird bug just sitting here. And so we saw so many different birds coming to this backyard that we kind of started documenting it. And right now, we have 19 different species of birds coming to our feeders. And I wouldn't know what any of them were if it wasn't for John James Audubon.
That's true.
I wouldn't know.
I mean,
he's been honored in so many ways. His book, The Birds of America, it's sold like, I don't know, 11 and a half million copies. He's been on stamps. Don't forget the Google Doodle. And, of course, the National Audubon Society, right?
Right.
Incorporated and named in his honor. And that makes John James Audubon, I'm a big fan and one tough son of a bitch. All right.
We're watching again. And one the thing we watch, or I watch, was called The Perfect Couple. It's like there's a really cool wedding that's happening. It's really fancy schmancy, wealthy, one of the wealthiest families in the country. They're in Nantucket. And all of a sudden, they're getting ready for this wedding. They're like at the, what do you call it? The rehearsal dinner. And there was a party afterwards. And after the rehearsal dinner, they find out that the maid of honor is dead.
When?
Right the next morning. She's laid out in the Nantucket Sound, dead.
Is this true?
No. No, it's a book. It's a novel by Eileen Hildebrand. And who's in this movie is Nicole Kidman, Liev Schreiber, Eve Hewson, which is Bono's daughter, and Dakota Fanning. And also another one that Steve liked is Megan Fahey. You know her from White Lotus. Anyway, it's been very popular the past few weeks there on Netflix. It's pretty good. I wouldn't say the greatest mystery story going on, but it's pretty good. And it gives you some reminiscence of stuff you've seen before. Really obnoxious rich people like White Lotus and Succession. And it's funny, but it's also a mystery drama and an ensemble cast. And I would recommend it. It's a pretty good watch.
Called what?
The Perfect Couple.
Couple.
Anyway, if you want to catch it up on Netflix, give it a look-see.
All right. Let's see. We've got a shot this week that kind of just looks like a little shot of beer.
No, it's called The Slippery Panties.
Hello. I like
it
already.
One part vanilla vodka, one part butterscotch schnapps, and one part hazelnut liqueur.
Now I don't know about that. Now okay. I'm scared. Here, let's... baby. What's it called again?
Slippery Panties.
Keep saying it. All right.
That's not bad.
Ow. It's pretty good. Ingredients again?
Vanilla vodka, vanilla. Butterscotch schnapps, and hazelnut liqueur, or as we call it, Frangelica.
All right. Good job, Kat. Here's... Anytime you do a shot with any kind of schnapps, it seems to overpower, doesn't it? The butterscotch is there.
Butterscotch is there, and I think it's your more sweeter component. It kind of lays down the hazelnut liqueur a little bit.
I could sit out on the back porch in like December.
Right.
And do about six of those. All right, let's move right into Band of the Week. Kat's been pulling at my coattail for a while to get the Cranberries on here. Formed in 1989 from Limerick, Ireland.
Right.
Dolores O'Riordan.
They were first called the Cranberry Saw Us.
Sauce?
No, it was called the Cranberry Saw Us.
And oh, wow.
With when it had Nell Quinn and everybody in there, Dolores wasn't in there yet. And Dolores said, hey, why don't we just replace, call us the Cranberries? Hello.
Dolores O'Riordan. course, vocals, rhythm, guitar, Noel Hogan on guitar, Brother Mike on bass, and Fergal Lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Lawler. Sorry, Fergal. On drums. Cranberry's probably the second biggest band to come out of Ireland, or maybe the third behind U2 and the Pogues.
Right, probably, yeah.
All right. Dolores, very distinctive voice. Classically trained on the piano. I didn't know. Played organ at church for like 8 years. The Cranberries, you know, this is kind of like a story you've heard about bands before. The first couple albums did well. Next couple, not so much. And by the fifth album, they were done. And again, it happens. They had a pretty good run. Their songs are still played on the radio damn near every day.
Right.
Around 2009, they got back together. I saw the Cranberries at an outside venue. Oh, I can't think of the name of it. It's between here and Northern Virginia. It's still going. It was them and Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I think Toad, I can't remember.
Is it in Vienna, Virginia?
It starts with an M. Meriwether Post Pavilion.
There you go.
That's where it was. And they were great. It was a really good show. I can't tell you how long ago it was. It was a long time ago. Unfortunately, Dolores reared in bad old demons for years. And I think it was...
Drowned?
It was about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
6 years ago?
It was, okay, January 15th, 2018. Unfortunately, she drowned in the bathtub, but of course she was intoxicated.
That's
at
right.
The time.
It was alcohol, yeah. We've heard that story too many times.
Right. And they tried to have a final album. Of course, Noel came back and went, "The Cranberries are four of us. We don't want to do this without Dolores.
I'm glad.
So we're going to leave it at after this."
Again, her voice was so
very distinctive.
You're not going to copy that.
I mean, all I could find was one German band who's doing covers in Dusseldorf coming January. The band's called Light by Sea, if you want to have any taste of what the Cranberries were like.
We covered a song. Remember
right.
when I played with Dave and Brian and
right.
And Carrie, think it was Zombie.
Yeah, Zombie.
And
Zombie.
We crushed it, I have to say.
You guys, I mean, Carrie really did it justice, I will say that.
And don't forget my great...
And the rest of the band, of course, was quite excellent.
My great bass playing. anyway, they had just demoed some songs before she died.
Right.
And they were going to put it out. I think they did put it out, like 8 months after her death. It's called In the End. And so ends the Cranberries. Check out the Cranberries wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.